Welcome to The Download here on WGN, WGNradio.com. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my guest today is a Chicago author and screenwriter. Juliette McDaniel has just published her debut novel and has already been optioned in Hollywood. Not bad. The novel is called Mr. and Mrs. American Pie. It's set in the late 60s and follows a woman, Maxine, who's a very confident socialite in Palm Springs that, after a blow-up at a Thanksgiving dinner, has to start over in a different town, different city, Scottsdale, Arizona. It's a comedy about roles, relationships, family, and beauty pageants. Yeah. The novel just came out. Even before it was released, it has already been optioned by Laura Dern's production company. McDaniel wrote the script for the indie rom-com QWERTY and went to school right here in the area, both at Lake Forest College and DePaul University, and she is my guest today. Juliette, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not too often, and we have a lot of writers on the download, not too often are you going to find someone on their debut novel getting the opportunity to already have it optioned. Well, I mean, talk about the emotion of before the book was even out, you're already in a position where you're optioning to the next level.
I had a little bit of an idea that it could happen because of my publisher, Inkshares. They've done very, very well with bringing books to market for Hollywood. So honestly, the entire time I was writing it, that was in the back of
my
mind.
Right. I was going to ask you that.
So, and because I started off as a screenwriter, I tend to be a pretty visual writer anyway. So,
right.
A lot of what I do in writing a novel is picturing it in my head and how it would look on screen.
So. Are there a lot of similarities as a writer? I mean, this being your debut novel, are there similarities in how you write a screenplay and how you write a novel?
Turns out very few. I learned through the process, through all of the drafts. The big difference with the screenplay is you need to make sure that the dialogue and character actions tell you everything the characters are thinking and feeling.
Right, right.
And in a novel, you get this wonderful luxury of being able to put your readers right inside the heads of the characters. So I took full advantage of that and used three different POVs, three different semi-reliable narrators throughout the book.
For you, and I want to talk about that, the way you choose to, or way you write and the way you choose to write. Is it informed by being a screenwriter? I mean, even though they're different and as you just mentioned, they're not similar in the way that you can do different things with the character's point of view. By changing the narrative and narrator and changing the point of view, is that something that you feel more comfortable because of your work in film or screenwriting?
It was actually the opposite. That was the trickiest thing for me. And what I ended up doing was I would spend one day as one character, and then if I needed to even go through and edit from another character's point of view, I put that off until the next day, until I could get into that person's head and play that character's playlist for myself to really get into that groove to do it. But otherwise, no, it was a huge, huge change to go from screenwriter to novelist.
Well, let's talk about Maxine.
Okay.
Maxine, the main character, and really even, as we talk about optioning this story from Hollywood, this is really about Maxine. This character, where does
Definitely.
Maxine come from? and how do you write such a nuanced... when I said in the lead, kind of confident, says what she means. Kind of talk about Maxine.
Sure.
Where does Maxine come from?
Maxine is the person I pretend I am whenever I'm in a situation where I'm not comfortable. I just pretend I'm Maxine. So she is very gutsy. She acts like she doesn't care what anyone thinks when really she cares so much what everyone thinks. She's a bit of a control freak, especially when it comes to how others perceive her, but she is supremely confident. She has this attitude of, if I'm doing it, then of course it's acceptable. It's perfectly fine because I'm doing it. So, a lot of times in my life when I've had to do something that's made me uncomfortable, I find myself, and I didn't name her until I started writing the book, but
interesting.
I would just be like, okay, just pretend you know what you're doing and you're supposed to be here and you'll be fine.
It's so interesting to hear that from a writer, because I think a lot of us have that it in us in some way. We have this
Definitely.
Extra, this different persona that we borrow when we need it, when we're stressed, we're anxious, we're in situations we're not comfortable with. So that's really, at the genesis of this character. Yeah. Obviously, there's more that's sussed out in the book, but the genesis of this character is one that's been with you the whole time.
Yeah, I joke that she's been my imaginary friend my whole life.
How do you feel about sussing that character out?
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun because, she is all when I first started writing her, she was all attitude, and I really needed to shape that into somebody far more human rather than someone so larger than life who's, you know, you meet those people and it's like they're always turned on and you're just kind of like, you know what, the world is not your stage, get off. And and especially in the first draft, that was very Maxine, and she's goal-oriented to a fault, so a lot of it was just finding her humanity, and I tried doing that by the other characters that she interacted with and the people in her life who ended up really mattering to her.
As a writer, is that the best way to do that, to get the people around her to be able to suss out who Maxine is?
I think so. And I think that's more interesting. And, you know, now that I think about it, that's probably some of where the screenwriter comes in, because when you're writing a screenplay, the character interactions and what they go through together really says everything about the character's journey, because you're not in the character's head as much. So, yeah, I think that's definitely the case.
And I was very impressed with the writing, so it's very descriptive to be able to tell us what Maxine is thinking and then be able to also write what Maxine says. but talk about that process, because, you know, as you suss out this character from draft to draft to draft, mm-hmm. is it not only the interaction with the other characters, is it about being more descriptive in your writing? Is it about trying to explain the surroundings that she's in? What changes from draft to draft?
From draft to draft for Maxine, I would say probably was her pacing and her what she noticed. Early on, her thoughts are coming a mile a minute. She notices everything that doesn't really matter. She notices, you know, the things that make up the person, the status symbols, the little details of the room around her. And as we go further on, she starts to notice those details about the people in her life, the two children in her care, the man that she's married. And that was what really changed for Maxine from draft to draft, is just honing in on these little quiet moments where she was connecting and aware of another person rather than everything going on around her, and she's always trying to think three or four steps ahead, and I had to pull back.
And I was going to say, by pulling back, it's more relatable in the sense that we do recognize the things around us as human beings. We're always sort of, but the things that rise to the top are the things that we remember or the things that we considered to be important.
Right. And that should be, hopefully, especially with Maxine, the people around her, because she, you know, she's someone, as we learn throughout the book, who's never really had anybody that she could count on. And all of a sudden, she has three people who are really trying to count on her. And she needs to be more attuned to their needs, especially when it comes to the two little kids in her life.
Right, right. That's another through line as you try to pull out is, I don't think it's juxtaposition, but it's this idea of contrast, this mm-hmm. idea of what she's used to and where she's confident and then where she's not, or where she has to learn something entirely new.
Oh, definitely.
Talk about that. Talk about how you write that and how important that is to the, not just to Maxine, but to you as a writer.
I think what was important was establishing in the beginning what Maxine's good at. She's good at reading people and understanding, but she's good at reading people to get what she wants. She's a very observant person. She is very focused on a singular goal. And I think that as the story wears on, especially when she's around kids, anybody, not just Maxine, you start to use some of those skills like, okay, how do I bargain with this two-year-old? Because if I can bargain with this rich socialite in Palm Springs, surely I can manage a two-year-old who won't eat anything. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with a two-year-old who won't eat anything, but that is a whole separate skill set that most people don't have. And for a very stubborn woman like Maxine, she's just butting heads with this little girl all the time. So it was really a matter of establishing early on in the book what Maxine's good at, and then letting her be clever enough to find ways to use that to her advantage with the people she cares about.
There, you know, when we talk about the business of writing and of course, the story being optioned, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's the character. The surroundings, everything that happens to Maxine may be part of what the story might be when the script gets made, but they're really interested in the character. Why do you think that is? What is it about Maxine that is attracting people like Laura and others to the...
I think it's that we're starting to get into a point where female characters are allowed to be really complicated and allowed to be messy and not so perfect. And especially in Maxine's case, she ends up, you know, she's a pseudo mom. So, I mean, moms are definitely barely allowed to be outside of perfect. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, I someone asked me what kind of characters I like to write, and mm-hmm. I like to write difficult women. And there was this great book out a few years ago about all of the difficult men on TV. And, you know, the Walter Whites, Tony Sopranos, Don Draper. And I'm thinking, you know, I write difficult women. Why? Where are the women who are a little complicated and harder to like, and you really have to peel away the layers to understand them? So I think part of why I really lucked out in finding actors who were interested in it was that it's a complicated female character.
That's so interesting. And you see more of that. I think that I think just in the last year we saw with HBO is doing more programs Absolutely. And television around those difficult female characters and lead characters. So there is a movement in Hollywood, if not a trend, to bring more of those characters to light.
And I think with a comedy, you have a lot more wiggle room than in a drama, because in a comedy, everybody's just a little bit bigger than they're supposed to be. And, you know, and I also think that if we can just laugh at our foibles, then it makes it easier for us to like someone. So,
well, I mean, obviously this success, it's funny because I've had writers on talking about screenwriters, when people who producers and writers mm-hmm. who've worked in television talking about the way to go about it is to write the novel first. It gives you so much more flexibility to tell your story than to write a screenplay and then hope that Hollywood adapt or takes it on. Do you see it the same way?
Definitely see it the same way. There's a saying now that books are the new spec script, and I think that's really, really true. From a writer's standpoint, from a Maxine point of view, I get to sell stuff twice. So, of course, I'm going to write it as a novel first.
As a businesswoman, right?
Yes. That just makes sense. But I do think it's a great way to get material. And people are saying, oh, yeah, it's so new for books. Well, no, Hollywood's always looked at books and plays for material. So I like it. And I think in a book especially, you have so much room to really let your characters be and grow. And I think that's why we're starting to see so many of them adapted for television.
Are you at the stage yet? And I think I read this, but are you at the stage where you will be the writer?
I finished the pilot already.
That's amazing. Yep. So talk about that process of starting with a character that mm-hmm. you knew would be in this, but writing a novel and then having to bring that character to light in a screenplay or a pilot.
The whole time I'm writing the novel, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow, I pity the person who has to take all of this POV and turn it into adapt it.
Oh, that's me.
So, of course it turned out being me.
Right.
Of course. I did it to myself. It was really interesting. And I'm only through the first draft, and it hasn't been approved yet. So, you know, knock wood, it won't be. Early feedback, which is very early, just came in a couple days ago, is good. But it was interesting. And what I basically ended up doing was writing it my first draft for myself, so voiceover heavy. So heavy on, we're going to be right in Maxine's head and we're going to hear every word. And it was awful. And then from there, just pulling back as much as possible, working detail into other characters' dialogue. The easiest part was making sure that I had the tone. I thought that was going to be really hard. And that's always
the hard part.
It is. It's really hard, especially in a screenplay, again, because you're so condensed on what you can do. But that I found to be pretty easy with the adaptation, at least.
I just, because you hear it both ways from writers, this idea of, you'd love to be able to give Maxine to somebody else, so that you just kind of mentioned, but also having the opportunity to build the world around this character that you created. So it can be, I mean, it's good in one way, but it's also, it's challenging in the other.
It is. And, I mean, one of the things I did was really map out every episode for the entire first season, which would be, you know, hopefully 10 episodes cover the whole book. And then I start thinking, oh, what about season two? And now that's pretty much all I can think about. Let's get done with season one so I can get to a season two. Because I have so many ideas that I, you know, when I finished the book, I was like, oh, that's done. I'm good. They could just go off and do their thing now without me. And nope.
Well, you've had an experience in screenwriting. We talked about QWERTY. And do you see a future for you where you bounce back and forth with the same thing again, where you go into more novels, try different characters out?
I would like that very much. I mean, my end goal for myself personally has always been to have a TV show, to show run and write for TV. And I've got a little bit of an opportunity here with Mr. and Mrs. American Pie. And if that doesn't work out, that's my hopes. But yes, I would love, now that I've done the novel and the screenplay, I couldn't pick which one I prefer. So, yeah, that's my idea.
We look forward to seeing Maxine.
This is an adaptation
for television.
Yes, for television.
So we look forward for Maxine on the small screen and the big screen at some point as well, hopefully.
That would be nice.
There you go. Juliet McDaniel is the author of Mr. and Mrs. American Pie, the novel which just came out this month, already optioned by Laura Dern's production company. And Juliet's working on the pilot for the adaptation for television. Juliet, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Congrats on your success.
Thank you.